Hey, we're going to be starting a new series today. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. Thank you. Nick, right?
Yes.
You're the man. All right, we're going to be starting a series today called On Mission, but before we get there, I want to do a little bit of a history lesson for you. Now, this is history because it happened when I was 12 years old, and apparently it's getting to the point where that counts as history. 1997. So in 1997, we had something happen that changed the world forever. Social media became a thing, okay? The first social media website showed up. It was called Six Degrees. Now, out of curiosity, any of you have a Six Degrees account? Probably not, because it doesn't exist anymore. It died after a couple years. But in 1999, blogging became the new hotness. People could post up these long thought out ideas, or they could share their darkest secrets with the world, and the world would come and read what they had to say. But in 2003, everything really changed. This is actually when my life intersected with social media. In 2003, MySpace showed up. And MySpace came out in the first year of college for me. In 2003, I was at college. I got to jump on and have a MySpace account. And MySpace did something original. It combined this idea that you could create a social profile, and it combined a blog together into one thing. And so now your friends would have these little MySpace pages, and you could go and you could listen to their favorite music while reading their thoughts. And the thing that MySpace did really different is it had a top friends list. Top friends list, like four people that were your top friends. Let me tell you, in college, relationships were destroyed over this top friends list. Destroyed. So, social media wasn't done evolving just yet. The next year, the public face of social media changed forever because Mark Zuckerberg created Facebook. Facebook, 2004. You didn't realize it was that long ago, did you? 2004. Facebook is actually still the most popular form of social media with 2.6 billion active users in the last couple months alone. How many of you are on Facebook? Just out of curiosity. Okay? Fair showing of hands. All right, so 2004, Facebook comes out and they do away with the individual pages. Instead, you get what's called a feed. And the feed, it was a Facebook algorithm where it takes all the posts that people make and it takes the most popular posts that you'd want to read and pops them up to the top. Now you can just scroll down that feed and see what all your friends are up to. But social media wasn't done yet. 2006, Twitter. Twitter did away with friends entirely. Instead, it focused on what we call followers. So you could have thousands of followers, people who wanted to see what you had to say, even if you didn't really care what they had to say. So they could come and check out your tweets, because no longer did you have these long posts. Instead, you had 280 characters to say something really profound. And then 2010, the game changed once again with Instagram. And Instagram is super popular among the younger generation. In fact, at 35, I'm considered positively ancient when it comes to Instagram users. But Instagram believed in this philosophy, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so they did away with the words entirely. Instead, they focused on images. You would post image after image after image. People could comment on it, say things about it, appreciate it. But I'm bringing all this up because social media, it's become part of who we are, right? Social media has wound its way into our lives. I asked for hands for who used Facebook, but how many of you use some form of social media, whether that is YouTube or Reddit or Pinterest or Snapchat or anything? Anything? Let me see. Okay, so we've got a few more hands up there. Social media has become part of who we are as a culture. We love knowing what's going on. We love being known. We jump on to follow people, and to be followed happens. Get this, there's this guy by the name of Cristiano Ronaldo. He is a Portuguese soccer star, 196 million followers on Instagram. That's the most in the world right now, 196. That's the record to beat if you're going for followers. I don't even know what you do with all those followers. I guess people just get on there to, I mean, he's kind of good looking, so I guess people get on there to look at pictures of him eating or something. I don't know. 196 million people want to know what's going on in this guy's life. We love following and being followed. Now, here's the thing. This new sermon series we're going to talk about, On Mission, it's all about the mission of Christ. And the mission of Christ, it starts with this idea of following. But we need to know who to follow and what following actually looks like. And so that's what we're going to dig in today, is who are we supposed to follow and what does it look like to follow him? What does it look like to follow him? Now, if you've been around at CCW for any amount of time, you know our mission statement. It comes from Matthew chapter 28, and these are Jesus' words, and I'm going to ask you actually to read them along with me. So we're going to read this together. You ready? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So these are Jesus' words. This is Jesus' mission for us. If we were going to sum it up really short, it would be something like, bring glory to Jesus. And why are we bringing glory to Jesus? Because all authority belongs to him. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. So bring Jesus glory by going and making disciples. That's what we exist for, okay? That's what the church is supposed to be about. That's what it means to be a Christ follower. That's our job description. And we believe this so strongly at CCW that we're actually going to challenge you over the course of the next 8 weeks to memorize these words, to memorize this the statement that we just said, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we're going to help you out a little bit because we're going to do it every week just like we just did. We'll repeat it together. But I think you need to take it to the next level and grab some note cards and write them down. I also found a cool app. I'm going to show it to you like you can see it, and I know you can't, but I'm going to pretend like you can. It's called Verses. Verses. I just found it this morning. Otherwise, I have a slide showing you this. But if you have, if you think I can't memorize anything, this can help. You jump on, you put in the verse that you want to memorize, and then it gives you game after game after game to help you memorize that thing. And you can even do it as a group. So as a family, if you want to memorize it together, you can jump on there and all create a profile and then memorize together. It's really, really cool. I do have to warn you, it's got like a $5 annual cost, but $5 for getting God's word into your head and into your heart, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Okay, so memorize these verses. Now, we're going to look at mission through the life of one of Jesus's main followers, that guy by the name of Peter. And you guys probably have heard of Peter before. He was a disciple of Christ. That means that he followed Christ. He learned from Christ. And he was also one of the original 12 apostles. And the apostle is, these were the 12 guys that Jesus used to establish and grow and lead his church right after it started 2,000 years ago. So that was Peter's job. But before we get into the story today about Peter, I want to tell you a little bit about him and maybe build a little bit of a biography for you, just so you know who we're dealing with here. So here's a few facts just about Peter. Okay, first of all, Peter was born, we're not 100% certain how old he is or when he was born, but according to church history, he was born around 1 BC. And he was born with the name Simon. He didn't pick up the name Peter until much later during Jesus' ministry. And in fact, it was a nickname that Jesus gave him, and it meant stone. So he's born with the name Simon, and he's born to a guy by the name of Jonah. Jonah. And so if you're reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, sometimes you'll see the name Simon bar Jonah. That means Simon of Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. That's how they got last names at that point. So Simon was born, and he was raised, and he became a fisherman. And it's likely that his father was a fisherman because Jewish boys would often learn the trade of their father. So that's what Peter did. Peter and his brother Andrew both became fishermen. And fishermen were known as being, at this time, a little gruff, a little smelly, sometimes a little vulgar. You've probably heard the phrase, cursing like a sailor before. You've heard that? It was true in the first century as well. This was the culture that Peter was around. Well, over time, Peter got married. We don't know the name of his wife, but we know he was married because in Matthew chapter 8, Peter's mother-in-law is healed by Jesus. So we know he was married. We don't know if he had any kids, but Peter and his family lived in a place called Galilee. It was a district of Galilee in the Roman Empire. It was a little north of Judea, and they lived in a town called Bethsaida. And that's almost all we would know about Peter, except that he encountered Jesus. He met Jesus, and everything changed for him. In fact, he met Jesus. He spent the next 3 years of his life following Jesus around, learning from Jesus, and then he put what he learned from Jesus into practice in the early church. If you read Acts chapters 1 through 10, it tells the birth of the church, the growth of the church. And you're going to find Peter's name those first 10 chapters a whole lot, over and over and over again. Peter is involved in leading and growing and just helping this young, fledgling church thrive. During that time, he also writes a couple of books. He writes 1st and 2nd Peter. These can be found right near the end of your Bible. And he also dictated the book of Mark, or the Gospel of Mark. And what that means is he shared his story. He told his story to his nephew, John Mark. And John Mark wrote those words down from Peter. And now we have the Gospel of Mark, one of the four big Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that tell the story of Jesus's life. So Peter does all this stuff, and then he goes on, and he dies around 67 BC. He dies at the hands of the Romans. AD. He's martyred at the hands of the Romans. That means he dies for his faith. And according to church history, Peter is actually, he dies by being crucified upside down. And the reason for that is, once again, according to church history, we're not 100% certain of it, but it's at least a good story, is that Peter, he knows he's going to be executed. He knows he's going to be crucified on the cross just like Jesus. And he says, I'm not worthy of dying like my Lord died. And so they crucified him upside down instead. So Peter dies in 67 AD, but that's after a life of following Jesus, after a life of living on mission, after a life of helping grow this new church community. It's a good death. It's a good death. Now that you know a little bit about Peter, let me ask you this. Why would someone like Peter, leave everything he knew behind? His trade, his hometown, his daily rhythms, leave all that behind to follow a traveling preacher? Why would someone like Peter, this guy who's an uneducated fisherman, why would he be inspired to become a public speaker and a leader inside the early church? Why would a guy who is gruff and a little belligerent and a little stubborn, why would he become loving and become a servant of Christ? I think it boils down to just two words. Follow me. Follow me. Those two words turned Peter's life on its head, turned his entire life upside down. Follow me. And so we're going to look at the story of when Peter first heard these words today, and it comes from Matthew 4. This will be up on the screen. You can check it out. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets, and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So imagine the scene. Peter, Andrew, James, John, they're all out here fishing. In fact, Luke chapter 5 fills us in a little bit more on what happened. It says that they had been fishing all night long, and they hadn't caught a thing. They were disappointed, they were discouraged, they were wrapping things up, casting the net a few more times, cleaning things off, getting ready to go home and sleep through the day. And all of a sudden, along comes Jesus, walking along alongside the Sea of Galilee, and he sees these guys, and he says, hey, why don't you cast the net on the other side of the boat? And I'm sure these fishermen who have been fishing all night are like, come on, man. Like, you think we didn't throw the net on the other side of the boat at some point during the night? You think that's going to like magically going to fix our situation here? But they decide to step out in faith, and they do it. They throw the net on the other side of the boat. And it says that they had this miraculous, impossible catch. So many fish that the boat actually started to sink. And then Jesus sends out this invitation. He says, follow me. And they do it. They do it. They leave their nets behind. They leave their homes behind, and they follow Jesus. They sign on to become traveling preachers with this guy for the next 3 years. Crazy story, but this is just the impact that Jesus had on people. He says to Peter and Andrew, follow me. What do? They follow him. He says to James and John, follow me. What did Peter and James and John do? They follow him. He comes along and meets Matthew, the tax collector, and he says, Matthew, follow me. What does Matthew do? Follows him. Over and over and again, we see Jesus inviting people into a new type of relationship, and they do it. They follow him over and over and over again. It's just the impact that Jesus had. Now, this is a kind of cryptic statement to us, though, because we don't usually receive invitations like, follow me and become a fisherman, right? Like, when's the last time someone asked you that? Probably never, right? Probably never. We don't always get what he means by this, but Peter knew exactly what Jesus was saying when he said this. See, Peter had grown up in the Jewish world. In the Jewish world, as a young boy, he probably went to Torah school. This would be kind of like going to elementary school. And in Torah school, he would go and sit under the Jewish rabbis, the teachers, and he would learn about how to read and how to write and maybe how to interpret scripture a little bit through the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the Hebrew Torah. So he would learn from them. But as time would go on, the weakest students would get weeded out. They'd be told, hey, go and learn the trades of your father. Go and learn. So they go and they'd become fishermen or carpenters or whatever else, whatever trade their father had, they would go and learn that now. The best and the brightest students, they'd stick around and they'd eventually get an invitation from a rabbi. Follow me. Follow me. And they would follow that rabbi and they would learn from that rabbi. They'd absorb everything that that rabbi did to become more like them. But Peter was a fisherman. So we can probably guess what kind of student he was, right? Hint, not very good. Peter had learned the trade of his father. He wasn't ever asked to follow me, but all of a sudden Jesus comes along, this new teacher, this new rabbi, and Peter hears these words, and he follows. Now, it helps us to know that this is actually not the first time that Peter and Jesus have met. In John chapter 1, the writer of John records another encounter between Peter and Andrew, or Peter and Jesus. It started with Andrew's brother. Andrew had gone out to listen to this guy named John the Baptist. John the Baptist was kind of odd. He was kind of odd. It says that he would wear camel skin for his clothing and that he ate locusts and honey. I don't know. Apparently that was a thing, but he just lived out in the wilderness, and people would come to hear this guy preach. He did a lot of yelling, a lot of telling people to turn or burn, of repent of your sins, and then he would baptize them for the purpose of repentance. And people were coming out. Andrew came out to listen to John the Baptist. Well, one day he's listening to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist points at this guy who's walking by, and he says, that man is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. And Andrew hears these words, and he realizes that they aren't just some weird gibberish that John's throwing out here. These are words that are a declaration of a Messiah. Messiah in the Old Testament was this person that the Israelites had been waiting on for hundreds of years, who would be their savior, who would be their leader. And this was a Messiah statement that John was making. So the first thing that Andrew did is he went home and he grabbed his brother Peter and he said, Peter, we have found the Messiah. Come and meet him. And so they go and they meet Jesus. So by the time that Jesus gives this invitation to Peter, follow me, Peter has met Jesus. He knows that Jesus is an up-and-coming teacher inside of Israel. He has heard rumor that Jesus is performing miracles. He's now seen this miracle, this miraculous catch of fish for the first time. And there's another rumor going around that this might be the Messiah that Israel has been waiting for. And this guy comes up to Peter and says, follow me. I mean, seriously, what other choice did Peter have? He followed. Now, we still follow today. It might not look like what I just described, but chances are you can think of someone in your life who you followed at some point. For instance, maybe it was a teacher who just spoke into your life in some really great way. Or maybe it was someone you learned a skill from or a trade from, or maybe it was just a parent or a grandparent who had a great impact on your life. Chances are you can think of someone who you follow. You might not have thought of yourself as their disciple. You might not have ever received like a formal invitation, follow me. But that's as close to what discipleship looks like that most of us have ever come. But why do we follow? Why do we follow? Why do we follow behind people? Because we're all following something. Why do we do this? And I think it's to meet some basic needs in our life. Four basic needs, and I want to talk about these real quick. The first basic need is this. We follow to learn. We follow to learn. This is the most basic reason that we follow, right? We follow to learn from people. I jump on YouTube and I subscribe to multiple YouTube content creators because I want to learn what they know. I watch painting tutorials because I think that this person has a skill that I would like to learn. I listen to podcasts from various leaders because I'm like, this guy has skills that I need in my life. We follow to learn from people. Everybody say this, we follow to learn. All right, we follow to belong. We all want to belong. This is a human need. It's part of our security. It's part of our identity. I especially see this among my children now. I've got four children, but my girls, I have a daughter named Emma who's 6. I have a daughter named Kate who's 9 and a daughter named Madison who's 15. And Kate and Emma, whenever Madison has friends over, there's this big age gap already, right? You know, like 6 years between them. But Kate and Emma want to be around Madison's friends. They want to belong. And so they go into Madison's room and harass and harangue, and there's tears, right? Everybody's crying. Everybody's upset. That happens. If you ever had like a, if you ever been an older sibling or been a younger sibling, you know this is true, right? You know this is true. But you want to belong. They want to belong, so they keep doing it anyway. Every single time her friends come over, they want to belong, so they go and hang out with them. Now, we aren't that different as adults now. We join various groups, organizations. We take on titles and join teams and clubs and secret societies, all different kinds of things because we want, none of you guys join secret societies, right? Okay, that's just me. All right, we follow to belong. Say that with me. We follow to belong. Go. Number 3, we follow because of love. We follow because of love. We follow the people we love. Just earlier this year, we ended up with a dog. His name is Max. He's a small guy. I'm more of a big dog person. I grew up with like boxers and stuff. So small dogs, and he fits a lot of the stereotypes. You know, like people come to the door and he's always yipping. But he's pretty cool. He's pretty cool overall, all right? Now, Max loves our family, but he loves, like capital L loves, my wife Jeanette. Loves her to death. If Jeanette leaves the room, Max leaves the room. If Jeanette goes outside the house, Max stands at the door and whines until she returns because he loves her so much. Max follows Jeanette because of love. But once again, as human beings, we do this as well. I've known families that pick up everything and move across the country to be near someone they love. I've seen grandparents move near grandkids. I've seen children move near aging parents because of love. I just did this marriage ceremony between a woman who is here in Florida and her husband is in England. And she's moving to England. Why? Because we follow because of love. We follow because of love. So say this with me. We follow because of love. And finally, we follow to find life. We follow to find life. This is the fourth need that we find in following people. And this shows up in a couple of ways. So for instance, when I fill out a form, the form a lot of times asks me, how many dependents do you have, right? You know, and I have 4 dependents. They're my children. They depend on me for food. They depend on me for clothing. They depend on me for shelter. They depend on me for life right now, right? That's what a dependent does, is they follow for life, for the purpose of finding life. But sometimes we follow to find life when there is a danger, and we recognize the danger. So, for instance, Terminator 2, Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up, and he says, come with me if you want to leave, right? Right? And if you ever meet an android from the future who says that, just do it. Just do it. You know, they know what they're talking about. Anyway, in my life, this looked a little different. My family, we scuba dive, or I used to scuba dive. I don't do it anymore because I get, like, turn blue. And so I just don't like being under cold water. But anyway, we used to scuba dive a lot. And we would do these things called live on boards where you would actually go and it's like a cruise, but all the gear would be stored downstairs and you just go and strap it on and dive, and you dive 5 times a day. It was great, you know? You'd be in the water a whole lot. Well, one of the times I did this, I pulled on my gear, I jumped in the water, got underwater, I'm 40 feet down, 10 minutes away from the boat, and I finally looked at the gauges that told me how much oxygen I had in my tank, and I was down to, I don't know, like 350 PSI or something like that. Now, in scuba diving terms, 3,000, yeah, scuba doing, 3,000 is a full tank. 500 is time to go back. 300 is you're dead, okay? That's kind of how that works. 300, you're dead. So, but if you're doing scuba diving right, it means that you have a buddy. And that buddy has something called an octopus, and that octopus is your breathing apparatus. They have an extra octopus, and you can breathe off of their tank. And sure enough, my dad was my buddy. It was good. He had his extra octopus. I didn't suffocate. But as we're swimming back to the boat, this tube that's connecting my source of life to my mouth, that oxygen tank to my mouth, it's only about 3 feet long. So guess what happened? Every time my dad swam fast, boop, my source of life, it got away from me. And every time I swam slow, same thing. You better believe I followed him for life, right? I followed him. So we follow to find life. Say that with me. We follow to find life. Yeah, we follow to find life. And we follow to find all of these basic needs, to learn, to belong, to love, to find life. That's why we follow. And we follow all different kinds of things in these worlds, in this world. And in each of those things, we find one or more of these purposes. But rarely, if ever, do we find something to follow that gives us all four. Little did Peter know that when he met Jesus and when he answered the invitation to follow me from Jesus, little did he know that he was about to discover all four of those things in Christ. When he started following Jesus, it was just because he thought Jesus had something to learn. He was going to learn from Jesus. He was going to follow him around. He was now following a rabbi, the dream of every young Jewish boy. It was great. He was going to learn from him. But as he followed, he discovered belonging. He became part of this group of apostles. He became part of the early church. He had this family that he never knew was there because of Christ. And as he followed Jesus, he discovered it was actually out of love eventually. You know, Jesus may have started off a friend. He may have started off a teacher. He became a friend. And later on, he became someone worth following and even someone worth dying for. And that's the highest form of love, is being willing to give yourself up for somebody else. And so Peter followed Jesus because he discovered love. And Peter also followed Jesus to find life. To find life because he discovered who Jesus truly was. Jesus was the Son of God, and he had come to this earth on a specific mission. He had come so that we might have a right relationship with God, so that we could have a forever, eternity-long relationship with God. And Peter discovered that life inside of Christ was so much better than life outside of Christ. He followed Jesus to find life. These two words, follow me, they transformed Peter's life. They changed everything for him. Now, follow me, these statements, they would echo in Peter's life. He would hear it again and again because this is one of Jesus' favorite phrases. At least 20 different times throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he says these words, follow me. I'm going to share just a couple of them with you. And Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Over and over and over again. And right near the end of Jesus' time with Peter, Peter hears these words again. And Joe is going to share the story in just a couple weeks, but I want to give you kind of like a brief outline of it. In John chapter 21, something has happened, something big. See, Jesus died. You guys probably know part of that story, but right before Jesus died, Peter denied Jesus three different times. He was scared. He knew that Jesus was going to his execution. He knew that the people who were executing Jesus, they were looking for a reason to kill off some other people. And so Peter just said, I don't know this guy. I don't know him. Three different times. And Peter denied Jesus, and Jesus went to his death. He died on the cross. Horrible, horrible execution. But 3 days later, something happened that surprised everybody, both Jesus' friends and his followers and his enemies. Surprised everybody. Jesus rose again. He beat death. He beat death. We call that the resurrection of Jesus. He beat death. And so Jesus rose again and then spent the next 40 days hanging out with his followers and teaching them what life would look like when Jesus left here, what it would mean to follow him even when he wasn't around. And John 21 records one of these instances. It's an encounter between Jesus and Peter. Once again, there has been a miraculous catch of fish. Once again, Peter finds himself on the shore of a lake talking to Peter. So Peter and Jesus are talking on the shore of this lake. And Jesus reminds Peter of the three times he messed up, of how Peter had denied him three different times. And then he reminds Peter of what it means to follow him. And he even tells Peter that if you choose to follow me, eventually it's going to lead to your death. And he wraps up with this. After saying all these things, he said to him, "Follow me." So I don't think it's any coincidence that Peter's time with Jesus began and ended with these two words, "Follow me." I don't think it's a coincidence. I think this is something that all of us need to hear. Mission begins with following Jesus. Mission begins with following Jesus. And it can change our lives. But I hope you also understand, just from some of the verses we read, that it comes at a cost. Following Jesus comes at a cost, right? Where were the verses that said, "Follow me and come to church every couple Sundays"? Or, "Follow me and read your Bible every once in a while"? They don't exist. Instead, Jesus' invitation to follow him, it talks about surrender. It talks about sacrifice for the sake of Jesus. It talks about denying our desires and choosing to live in the light instead of the darkness. Over and over and over again, this is what "follow me" means. But I hope you understand that for every step of self-denial, there is a promise of something greater. For every step of self-denial and choosing Jesus, there's a promise of something greater, because in Jesus, we learn the truth. We learn what it means that God has created all things, that Jesus Christ, his Son, came to this earth. We learn those things and learn that all the things in this world, that they can't fill us, they can't fulfill us, can't work. We learn to belong. In Jesus Christ, we become a child of God. I mean, that's such a cool idea. You become a child of God by following Jesus Christ. You become part of his family, his church, and this world, and for all eternity. And in Jesus Christ, you discover love, because God is love. And God, in his love, he sent his Son into this world to die for our sakes, because he loves us so much. And in Jesus Christ, we find life. We find life. We find true life, authentic life. Listen, everything that you come across in this world and you follow, eventually it's going to disappoint you. I hope you know that. It's going to disappoint you eventually. But in Jesus Christ, we find life to the fullest, and we find life eternal. Forever life with God. Listen, we're living. Every single one of us in here is going to die. You realize that, right? Every single one of us. We're all aging. We're getting gray hair, wrinkles. That's okay. We're all going to die. But in Jesus Christ, life keeps going on. And get this, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and eternity has already started for me. And it can for you too. It can for you too. So yeah, following Jesus Christ, it comes with a lot of self-denial, a lot of sacrifice, but man, the promises are so much better. They're so good. They're so good. Peter heard those two words, "follow me," and it transformed his life. It can you too. It really can. Now, if you haven't decided to follow Jesus just yet, I want to remind you, we're all following something. We're all looking for those four needs in something. And so let me ask you these two questions. First question is this. If you're not following Jesus, then who or what are you following? Who or what are you following? And is what you're following helping you learn, belong, experience love, and discover life? Is it actually doing all those things for you? Chances are it's not. Okay, just being real with you. Like I said, everything in life that we follow is going to disappoint us at some point. You follow me, I'm going to disappoint you. You followed your parents, they disappointed you. Everything is going to disappoint you at some point. Jesus Christ never does. He never does. He does all these things perfectly. So if you want to know today what it means to follow Jesus Christ, if you want to decide to surrender and start down that path, man, I want to talk to you about that. My team of prayer warriors are going to come up here in just a few minutes after I'm done talking, and you can come up and talk to any of us, and we will introduce you to what it means to follow Jesus. Now, for the rest of you who already are following Christ, you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower, whatever title that you decide to take for yourself, we need to keep reading, because it says, "Follow me and I will do what?" What is he going to do? make you fishers of men. Make you fishers of men. Now, obviously, Jesus is not advocating that you walk around with a pole hooking people on the street. Like, that's not what he's about. What he's saying here is that if we follow him, he will teach us to do what he does. That we will become disciple makers in our own right. Every single one of us. Look at, he's talking to Peter and he says these words to Peter. You are going to become a fisher of men. He's talking to you. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You're going to go out and disciple and teach people about what it means to follow Christ. What it means to live like Christ. What it means to have the habits and the love and the self-sacrifice of Christ. That is our job description as Christ followers. That's part of the cost, guys. But that's also part of the glory. We are designed to teach people about Christ. And so let me ask you these two questions. First of all, Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. If I were going to say this, I would say it like, follow me as I follow Jesus, right? That's the invitation that everyone needs to be making. That's the invitation that we get to make to our family and our friends, to the people that we meet in the gym, the people we meet at work. Follow me as I follow Christ. So the two questions for those of you who are Christ followers in here today is this. Who are you following as a disciple? Who are you following? Who's a step or two steps or three steps ahead of you that is introducing you to the way of Christ? Because we all need that. We all need someone in our life who's going to be that person. And if you don't have that person, you need to start looking around and saying, who could do this for me? And you need to ask. Just ask. Say, hey, can we hang out? And can you teach me about Jesus? Can you teach me to be more like Jesus? Start there. If you're not sure who that person is, listen, I've got a ton of groups. We're about to start our Wednesday night study. Come to one of those things. Come be a part of that. And I will connect you with someone who can be that person in your life and introduce you to the way of Jesus. It's that important. You guys need to do this. Second question is this. Who are you saying, follow me as I follow Christ to? Who are you saying these words to? Because you need to be saying them. You need to be saying this if you're a Christian. Follow me as I follow Christ. Who are you saying that to? If you aren't saying this phrase, one of three things is true. First, there's the potential that you just don't really believe in Jesus' claims. Now, I know that sounds crazy because that would make you not a Christ follower, but I know people who show up to church every single Sunday. They open their Bibles on a regular basis, but they aren't doing the things of Jesus. They aren't doing the things of Jesus. And if Jesus is Lord, you either obey him or you don't. All right? The second possibility is that maybe, you're just spiritually lazy or too busy. I mean, maybe you have a job that's just eating up your hours, or maybe your family is just the focus of all your attention. Listen, I personally don't want to be standing before God someday and him be like, hey, why didn't you make disciples like I asked you to? Why weren't you a fisherman? And I say, well, you know, work, family, I had this really cool hobby, God. You know, I learned how to do that. I was awesome at bowling. No, listen, I don't want to try to excuse myself before God someday. I don't want to. So don't be that person. Don't be that person. The third possibility is that you just don't feel equipped to. You feel like, man, I'm not a spiritual parent. I'm just learning. I'm a spiritual baby. I'm just introduced to this stuff. This is all new to me. Like, you just don't feel equipped. If that's the case, well, we can help out with that. I got a thought for you, and I got a tool, a resource I want to point you to. The thought is this. Peter was a fisherman. In his culture, he never would have been anything but a fisherman. He was just going to be a fisherman for his entire life, and then he met Jesus. But Peter was uneducated. He'd been rejected by the teachers of his youth. He wasn't prepared, but he believed. He believed in Jesus' promise. He just said, hey, yeah, Jesus is saying, follow me, and I will make you a fisherman, and he just had faith, and he followed. And guess what? Guess what Jesus did? He made this uneducated, unprepared guy a fisherman. He could do the same to you. Be like Peter. Be like Peter, really. Just start following. See what God's going to do there. The tool that I want to introduce you to is something that we've been working on. It's called the Making Disciples tool. It's just a short little PDF. It kind of breaks down what the Bible says about discipleship and how you can disciple somebody else. So it talks about this idea of engaging other people, how to connect with someone else and cast a vision for what discipleship is all about to that person. It talks about equipping, what you do with your time together, you know, what you should be reading, what you should be talking about, and then it talks about empowering that other person to go and do the same thing with somebody else. Follow me as I follow Jesus. And you can find this tool. We have it out at our Next Step station right here. It's also online, ccw.church, as well as a whole load of other discipleship tools. And listen, I'm telling you all this, well, one, because my title is discipleship minister, so I've got, you know, I got to say things like this. But I truly believe this. I believe that if I started discipling people like Jesus asked me to, and Briley started discipling people like Jesus asked her to, and Charity and Nate and all the other people sitting in this room started saying these words, follow me as I follow Christ, I believe that this church would be changed. I believe this community would be changed. I believe this world would be changed. I really do believe that, guys. So we need to start taking Jesus' words seriously and going and making disciples. That's about it for today, but I do want to leave you with a prayer. Peter's life was transformed with just two words, follow me. And as I said, again and again, yours can be too. So my prayer for you today is this, that you hear Jesus' invitation, follow me, and you follow. I pray that as you follow Jesus, that you discover belonging, that you discover the truth, learning the truth. I pray that you discover life and love. I pray that as you follow him, you become a fisher of men, that you go on to disciple other people, and that these words, follow me as I follow Jesus, are always on the tip of your tongue. Let's pray together. God, you are good. You are good all the time, even when we fall short. And Father, today I ask that you pierce our hearts, that you help us to hear the invitation, and that we look past all the surrender and sacrifice that's going to come with it, but because we know that there's something so much better out there. I ask that as we follow Jesus, that we do learn, that we learn what the truth is, that we learn who you are and who Jesus Christ is, who your spirit is in our lives. I pray that as we follow him, we find belonging as your child in this community, the church. I pray that we can discover your love in a whole new way, and as a result, that we can pour that love out to other people. And I pray that we discover life to the fullest. We are honored to be called yours, Father. We're honored to be your children. I just ask that you put on us a fire to go and make disciples, that these words, follow me as I follow Christ, become just so much a part of us, that people come into this community and they can't help but hear a passion for your son and a passion for what he's doing in our lives and in the world around us. Transform us, change us, Father. Make us more like your son. It's in your name we pray.